morning, ladies and gentlemen, and most welcome to our appropriation select committee. And today we're dealing with the important matter of parliamentary budget office and the support that it provides to the committee. So like members to receive this presentation, all of us know that this is an important part of our work. This arrives out of the budget office, comes arrives out of the money bill, and provides much needed support to our critical, to play critical oversight. So, Prof. Mohamed and the team are here, so they're most welcome. And we really want to have a frank discussion with the budget office so that we can clarify ourselves, understand, and we'll be putting this great partnership over our heroes as members of this committee and as well as the finance committee that is chaired by Honorable Charles Dibier. So I will ask the first member to just introduce themselves so that in our initial meetings we find it easy to relate with one another. And members are welcome to just introduce themselves. I will ask Charles to start with your and but you are known here, but as an important party.
Introduce your team as well and take us through the presentation. Yeah. tem direito, mais ou menos, a trabalhar. Mas se cada um das pessoas, pouco pode ser trabalho, a mulher é que ficou. E na lista se diz, não pode ser trabalho, se diz, não pode ser, deve tudo as caras. Tanto as duas para o que eu trabalho, mas aqui que você pode. Então, a mãe não é trabalho. E nós podemos utilizar que é que os lagas duas, mas a parte de trabalho, a lista se diz, não pode ser. Deve ser decisão, não pode ser, e o que faz para mim. As I say, you are lost, so we force you in a significant fashion. Adoption, accessibility, again, the core function, and we need to ensure the service of our new entrance to provide review and analysis of any of the documentation table department by the data that the industrial demand. This is what refers to the both, to the buyer, to the operation, to the department industry, and specifically our commitments for any capital interest. I think for too long that we make effort to work out the problem and to work that the simple work that any of these places in this respect. And I think one of the reasons that I'm specifically having the mind of this is to say that we need to focus on those things, on our problems, on our problems, and our problems. Also, providing advice and analysis on the physical framework that we present the vision of everything. And policies proposed. But I think the legislature does not underscore the alliance of the enforcement that you as a committee and that you set when you undertake the respect of the fiscal framework, the policy, when you actually are taking a direction for the country's economy. So, you know, the rest of the country looks to you because we give our guidance on you as to what policy direction you have to study to the rest of the country. Governments of plenty and other areas they can't be thinking. And I think that, you know, now that they have been more involved, elected, they need to expect the guidance to provide by the committee in terms of direction that the economy is taking. And not only at the national level, but at the political level as well. So your role in this role is not just looking at the overall amendments or the numbers, but your own initiation for the future of the economy and the way we go. The first of all, I would say that infrastructure is important, that we're focusing on social development, and the social safety net is in our future. Then we must all be committed to that process because we are committed to the end of the infrastructure being within the society and the economy as well. So I would say monitoring and synthesizing methods and reports that are taken. Specifically with privacy implications. And I think I would share this important issue again also for the NCOP. So that a lot of our budget and documents are favorable, but we don't really keep much of the interest in this regard. Just to give you an idea, I would share we have new issues of this now for the Honorable Nyambi, the House Chair, around some of the issues that they need, that the NCOP needs to consider for communication and casual interest. And of course, he's perfect with other members who will make the way for screening and the amendments of the Chair, also keeping the breadth of policy studies. Chair, I think a lot of us in the together realize that we have at the national development plan, you know, the new growth path, IPAC, but we also forget to note that at the provincial level, we also have, you know, these kind of policies forced through to that area. And how we hold that accountable, and how we hold, you know, the provincial administration also accountable in terms of the budget. That is aligned with the national policy, with the economic plan. Because as the Honorable Chair, the budget is nothing more than the fiscal expression for the financial expression of your strategic action plan for your policy. Nothing is another area of the Chair that we need to address specifically, and our way of your community. Chair, the monitoring and reporting of unbanked mandates, which I think is a specific issue which we need to look at, that arises out of not only the legislature, but policy and budgetary proposal. And I think that in our area, Chair, you know, we have a lot of expectations and a lot of ideas that are put forward, but it's not possible. Because we don't know what it's going to cost if we make these kinds of announcements or if we make these kinds of announcements to the legislature in that respect. Chair, any other work that you deem necessary by the director, and of course
Thanks very much, Prof, for sharing the information with us. I think, member, you heard it. I will not really restate issues that Prof raised, than to ask you if there are areas that you need clarity or not, Prof raised. He raised areas of limitation also that ideally they would have wanted to strengthen their capacity much more to the extent that they can fulfill the role of saving all committees of parliament, but they are understaffed, and their reality that the market also is not easy, is what you offer. So Prof has said you can. But I just want to ask Prof on the issue of capacity building, what exactly is it? Capacity building, here we are a committee of a population, we may not have economic background, finance, but we deal with these very important concepts that we need to understand and to be able to relate to the literature that from time to time we have to deal with. What is the key on capacity building do you offer? Yes. Honorable Shah, Dade Mota Shuki. We are joined by Honorable Member Mchele, yes, that's the Honorable Member from Limpopo Province. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Meeting, my question to yours is very important that members of these four committees who have an impact, also at least the chairpersons of the other committees involved, understand budget analysis. That's what we are dealing with now, and rushing for the end of July to get the information of the policy committees. Because that's just quite the other situation we are in now. But when that is done, maybe a request from Professor Jayakovic's team to come up with an induction or training to come forward on budget analysis. Only come to the MPCBS, which will be tabled in October, and the MPCBS laying the foundation for the national budget to be tabled in September.
Thanks, sir. Yes, Honorable Man.
No, my name is Honorable Chair. With us in the total challenge of unemployment, I think that is drawing my attention when I look at your presentation and looking at the organizational structure. So one thing that has been sticking to my mind was what is discussing the head. Maybe you would explain to us such presentation to the CAB on the head. In the purpose of this meeting, but the director of consultation with the committee, so the 74 in session 4, must challenge in the structure of the housing budget and the conditions of service of the deputy director and personnel of the housing budget body, which must be cognizant of the conditions of service for officials in the housing budget. I'm not sure. Because this committee, nothing was brought before this committee, and I found it very interesting that we introduced the OSAR. But in whatever we have done in terms of the implementation of this official, what is that in consultation with the committee? And if so, I'm sufficient to understand this area.
Let's allow. Just Prof to make some responses on these issues, and I'll immediately ask us to proceed to the next presentation. Because, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would say thank you for the question. Thank you both. I think we've said that on the what we've been doing so far is we've been creating for students both the problems and outside of the problems. To check but at least they come in the bulk of directly working in the store. So that would be the kind of guideline that we'll have at this moment for the site. I'll also say that we have a more legal issue of the condition of service in here. As you know, the fourth part, and also the beer, also add on to this, is that all the poisons, regardless of the structure, condition of service, etc., etc., were all developed through what we had, what we call the advisory committee of the PBO. And this was the two housing, the four chairs of the panel, and the procreation committee. And these were the things that basically guided us in terms of, you know, the appointments, in terms of the processes, etc., etc. I'm not a council review committee, which is not a council review committee. But it was the fact that there was a peer for the executive authority of the board and the president. Of course, as you know, we have a new process of appointing new deputy directors. And that process will now also be brought to the new thank you.
Thank you very much, Prof. Vishal.
Yeah, I just want to mention that there was a meeting of the Select Committee for Appropriations before we adjourned for the general elections. We found a small committee room in the union, and that was our last engagement with the budget office. At that meeting, I still made proposals for those coming back to carry on with the work. So we must just look back in the minutes of that meeting because that was a lot of engagement with the budget office. And with the budget office, whether that changed, which was the duty of the committee to engage the budget office before we can and the fourth policy changed again.
Well, thanks for that information. I want to approach Prof. Proceed to take up through the next. This was really giving an overview how the budget office is structured, how we coordinate all of those activities that are important, just the ways of doing business and how we relate to the community. So it will go in much deliberately. I think there are some issues that you raised, Prof. You said issues of policy, NGP, NGP, EPUB. We very much interested in the comment that you made that we need to increase our tempo in coordinating provinces. A critical loop in provincial, in provinces who have provincial growth and development plan. We really are interested to take note of that comment that you made, and we'll appreciate this committee not to lose sight of keeping the focus. Then you can take us through the presentation.
This presentation will take you to the most important issue of the GDO's third edition of the economic and fiscal review outlook. For a long some time, questions you can see what is our idea. The third edition of our economic and fiscal review outlook considers the impact of recent economic business. manufactured goods and for commodities that we have expected. Domestically, obviously issues relating to labour relations, productivity, structural constraints such as energy, for example, have also played a part. The net result has been that several institutions have relied on the growth forecast in terms of forcing down between 1.9 and 2.3%. So it stands to reason that there is a responsibility the government will rely on growth forecasts to provide the kind of medium term economic. So what is the impact of slower growth? Well, as you know, creating an estimate for based on economic performance. Therefore, slower growth means that we're likely to see lower revenue collection. If we assume that estimated expenditure levels remain the same, stands to reason that we're going to have to find the deficits, so we're going to have to borrow more or run more of a higher budget deficit. As you'll know, the difference between revenue and expenditure is because of the budget balance, when that budget balance is negative, we call it deficit or a budget deficit. The system budget deficits tend to increase total government debt, and all that basically means is that we have to devote more of our resources. Turning to the fiscal framework, as you can see on the table there, the revenue interest payments are expected to remain relatively stable as a potential GDP over the medium term. You can see government's intention to reduce the budget deficits from 4% last financial year to 2.8% in 2016-17. The intention to reduce the budget deficit is anticipated to be largely driven by an increase in non-interest expenditure. And just to clarify, non-interest expenditure includes any money spent on goods and services, as well as on compensation for employees. I think there are two points worth mentioning in this regard. Firstly, in order for compensation expenditure to decrease as a percentage of GDP, it would need to grow slower than the economy over the medium term. I'll touch on a little bit more on the next slide. Expenditure on goods and services at a percentage of GDP is estimated to be effectively reduced from 2012-13 to 2013-14. And this is largely the result of strict adherence to expenditure payments, categories such as travel and assistance, for example, and it will need to continue if we also reduce the budget deficit. Another important factor is increasing the efficiency of expenditure. We hear it all the time, but it's really critical for in reducing the budget deficit over the medium term. As I mentioned, a key assumption in reducing the budget deficit over the medium term will be to ensure that compensation expenditure grows slower than GDP. As you can see in the chart there, from 2011 to 2013-14, the government wage will actually grow faster than nominal GDP and inflation. The growth in those first 2 years can be largely attributed to the implementation of the occupational specific disinflation, which was adopted in 2011. Now, in the 2012-13 financial year, the CPI-plus 1% multi-year public sector wage agreement was entered into. Despite this agreement, compensation expenditure growth still outstripped GDP for 2012-13 and 2013-14. The estimates contained in the fiscal framework that I mentioned earlier, they assume that this trend will actually reverse. Now, next year we've got negotiations related to the new multi-year agreement. The estimates assume another CPI-plus 1% settlement. Any settlement involved CPI-plus 1% is likely to put pressure on the upward pressure on compensation expenditure, and could ultimately lead to country missing its budget deficit target. So that is a risk. Another factor to consider.
very much for the presentation. That's a very pointed one. Members, it was very well presented, so we rather can entire with it. When the economy is soft among countries in the continent are growing, what are the factors that accounts for the slower rate of growth in our South African economy? There was a lot of topical issues that the Nigerian economy has surpassed South African economy. In fact, other commentators have said that because they grow from the lower base, and it creates an impression that they are growing tremendous, but they grow from the lower base as opposed to South African economy in general as well. So, but that simply could. It's like the growth elsewhere, sub-Sahara, then what is the problem here in South Africa economy? Just the elementary issues. I'm just teaching. I can see Mr. Mchele, you are a member, if you want to relate to the discussion. Yes, you're welcome.
Your actions are not going to happen.
thank you, Speaker. Any more points? Okay, maybe we'll allow members the last opportunity after this. Thanks, Prof.
Thank you.
society, economic policy, macroeconomic policy, and provincial policy for the people of the country. And that's what we should be doing.
Thank you. The question is beyond to what Ramon mentioned. I think it's very realize that Africa is a very integrated economy in the world with open financial markets, a lot of FDI, a lot of foreign assets in Africa, and foreign assets in production. And, you know, we export a fair amount. And the consequences that happen in the global economy affect us quite directly. And we're not an economy that's exporting primary commodities. Some of our export are primary commodities, and some of our exports are value added. Manufacturers. So poor performance in our major trading partners, the European Union, the US, specifically China and other Asian states as well. They're experiencing slow growth. Obviously China is having a very high growth. I mean China, slow growth in China is 10%. We wish we could have 5%. But similarly other emerging economies have also struggling. It's not that Africa is exception. The developing economies are quite slow. So Africa together with Turkey, Indonesia, Argentina, Brazil, Mexico, experience is growth. We form part of the value of life, and this is partly to do with our budget deficit as well as our trade deficit. So the fact that we're importing more than exporting means that we have a deficit in terms of foreign currency. This results in weakening of the rand, and this affects our position in terms of the global market. I think really at a second level, which is partially the question, mining is performing poorly. The reason for mining performing poorly are not just domestic. Domestic are certainly in what happened in Marikana, what happened this year in terms of cracking sectors, which are tracking strike, as well as capacity, as well as energy issues. Fortunately, the new minister is probably trying to bring some pressure on this one right now, but these are systematic issues that are ongoing. Similarly, when it comes to manufacturing, labor is an issue, input costs are rising, weaker rand means we pay more for this for our inputs, meaning we have to pay more for our capital, and the sector costs are third in this for our manufacturing. Sectors that have been performed well include services. However, services are not quite intensive in terms of low-skill labor, and Africa has limited low-skill labor services. And so while they have to develop the economy in terms of employment creation, it's potentially quite more limited. And we are definitely losing ground to manufacturing and mining. Agriculture, fortunately, this year we had a fantastic yield in May, and that, you know, could keep the pressure on in terms of CPI, and that was ground. But infrastructure issues, water, electricity, access, a lot of problems at our port. Fortunately, Transnet's new policy and plans were off the future, and part of that is really under the year's question regarding the infrastructure. And investments. I mean, the key drivers of the 897 are primarily Exxon and Transnet, so rail in particular, and of course, ongoing investments in Malibu and Castilla. I think we have to bear in mind that the 867 have already been committed, so projects are ongoing. The critical way that they take report investments in infrastructure versus the World Bank is with the differential. National Treasury takes into consideration the numbers we have in hand, but ongoing. So we're very committed in terms of Exxon and Transnet. So those aren't necessarily new projects, but we're very committed. Regarding the question on Nigeria, the economy being large and ours, Sean may have time and capacity, allow Sean to have some thoughts on and better matters on the fact that we are not allowed to spend money on the consumers.
Thanks, sir. So I'll just keep it pretty brief. The issue with the Nigerian economy was part of a fiscal issue, which was that their agency has actually underestimated the size of their economy. So in some sense, it was just a technical revision. From the perspective of what the implications of that for Africa, the majority of experts seem to agree that this is not something we should be worrying too much about, as much as Nigeria is a much larger economy. So Africa, if you take our GDP per capita,
Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think we've touched on the problem and the question, but the quick one to say that the quick question comes from the north of Norway, which is from the north of I didn't want to show work with the great money interested and all that. I think what I want to tell my colleagues at the provincial and local government is that the problem has been problems with borrowing money. The issue for you is money. What I would do is simply like I would say, if you borrow money and you use it to buy food, probably it's going to be a problem. But if you borrow money and buy assets, you know that assets will be away quickly at my control. And that creates more credit. As opposed to the initial parameter that I'll say, okay, this is what I need to go to the infrastructure. And that gave promises to the community for the class and from the court, as opposed to just what I need to use to buy the most initial consumer. So the initial parameter that I'll need to say, when you put a click on, can you go to my need for consumption, for it, for it, for
from Northern. Thanks. Yes.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I'm not from Northern, I'm from Northern. Isn't there a difference between where the association and the finance is in? The money is extended, that the financial group is national. Macroeconomic and fiscal policy, amendments of fiscal framework, the various fiscal framework and revenue for the 10 years, and the extra revenue coming from the national treasury. So the finance committee needs to be involved in it. In terms of the appropriation committee, they need to look at spending issues. They need to look at the amendment of the division of revenue bill, the appropriation bill, supplementary appropriation bill, and adjustment appropriation bill. Taking into consideration the fact that the appropriation bill is only 50% of the budget, 50% is outside the budget, which is actually going to national department and FOE. So it needs the appropriation committee to concentrate on 50% of the budget. That is it. So that's what they need to concentrate on. And they also need to look at the recommendations by the Fiscal and Financial Commission, including those referred to in the intergovernmental fiscal relations.
Thanks very much. Well, quite a very useful. I just want to go back to the issue that was raised. I know I believe it's part of the 50% that must contribute. No, but just for interest, there was an issue raised around the blockages in the ports of entry. I just want to understand that the impact through economic activity. Was it short? Yeah. Just to.
Thanks, sir. I can say a bit about that because I have some background in transport and actually, it's an ongoing process. Under the
Thanks. I think that's a useful comment. I think to the extent in which we are more knowledgeable on these areas, it will increase our oversight capacity. So we have to deal with and the relationship with the budget office clearly is an important one, because we have got to speak from also the our own assessment. As the budget office says, that it will provide objective and as well professional. So the information that we are provided for by the budget office will set us at par with those that we are waiting for in terms of COVID progress or otherwise that we are making. Even when we check the impact of the budget appropriation, the outcomes, therefore, we will be much more clear. Because it's one thing to say these are plans and so forth, allocation, but it's another as to what are outcomes out of that. So it's an important matter. So really welcome this kind of a relationship that we have to be. But they say the correct thing is a robust oversight. Yeah. Not being disrespectful or otherwise, but being very much stark and apologetic in moving issues that we need to. Our colleague within Galatia here in
Sir, you know, as Prof. was saying there, it came to my mind that I should notice this girl of this house, how it was requested. So when we checked the outbreaking and the lead answer for how we did not transit to the following, as it was also explained by the colleague there, on the other side of this house. It's time to definitely to have this person. We have the year of, the G5 crisis, about the, assessment in terms of the economies. And now the head of Nigeria, as you said, I'm going to have in mind, Nigeria, seems to be part of, the South African economy. I'm hearing that there also could be clearly that maybe there are, potentials to be dreamed of improving because they were regarded as a role play in terms of, growing their school. But I just want to know who actually determines this, because as one of the direct argument, although the other officials and in the corridors, that would actually determine which countries to do this swimwear economy. And I also want to understand the data about this fish and the SNP. Because according to the agenda of the previous year, it would be fair to say South Africa is not doing well in terms of economy. If our members are participating, the general point that the challenge was that we don't have to laugh, a country actually is doing well, country that is not doing well. This fish and the SNP, they also involve the World Bank and maybe also the IMF when these ratings are done. I just want to understand the fair part of it, because sometimes you might find that the G5 countries and well do countries, trading on most African countries. Because what they have of most African countries which are not doing well in terms of economy. So maybe for the team can be come up here and over there. How are they
coming up? Okay. The main question is who are these agencies and the credibility thereof? Are they credible institutions? And how do countries really recognize these agencies? So that we really will thanks for the question.
Again, that's the reason I'm glad to hear about the today's
provide this information. So this central graph is looking at your brokers. There are 17 indicators people that are indicating the indicator here. And it's really across the world because I tell you what the indicators. In our practice, for example, the senator will do that. The central society tells you also have reserve banks. And then we do also have universities and other research institutions that we do in South Africa. On the process of your institutions like the African Development Bank, we have the NECA, the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa. In each of the countries, we have their own set, departments and some of the areas which are lower on the conferences in our set departments and other areas. And we also have international institutions here like IMF, the World Bank, the United Nations. They also the CIA, who built their website, they also do statistical analysis and get active activity. Check your own energy, data. So setting before that in this regard. And information, for example, that comes to our committee here will be statistics from national figures, for example. Now, is that good enough? You know, you need more statistics. That's the only the future that you have to look at. Not our below. You need other information as well. You know, look at those kind of things. In terms of the ratings,
so just to say that the rating agency are independent institutions, so they don't consult necessarily. Their methodologies are provided on their website. I can read methodology for sovereign credit rating, so rating government debt from our participation on. So it's very easy there. But I think the important point is that they are not necessarily affecting a country's overall economic performance, and how you determine economic performance is another question. There are a whole bunch of indicators and variables to consider. They tend to focus more on credit assessment. So they are assessing the credit worthiness of an institution or a government. So how likely is that government to default given a certain debt security? So that's their primary concern. That, you know, do they get wrong? Yes, they do. There's pretty well documented there are several issues with the rating agency, but their main purpose is really to provide information to the market regarding debt. So just to give a potential investor a better picture of how creditworthy is a particular institution, what sort of interest should I be required to invest my money with a certain institution. So the scope of what they do is pretty restricted to credit reviews. So it's not an overall assessment of how an economy is performing, although that is obvious fact, but that's not exactly what they do.
The fact of the matter is that investors, international and even local investors, make use of these ratings agencies to decide whether they invest a dollar in America or a dollar in Nigeria. So that's the problem that we face, because, you know, we're part of this global international process, and what happens out there affects us as well. And the issue is not, you know, how we can make a dollar, you know, but why would someone put a dollar into Nigeria and not get the same dollar for that people or somewhere else?
Okay.
Good
follow-up. No, thanks. But the clarity is, you want to follow up?
Yeah. Across Africa, you see, South Africa seems to be the sole provider of these mineral resources. But once we we provide African gold and these other mineral resources to these G5 countries. And then maybe we're counting on all that these things for third hand. And in a way, we seem to be maybe playing a very
is not just made about just doing things in the same way, doing them right without thinking about the structure, whether the structure is to give us a desired result. So we have to change, to think through those critical issues of also that impact on the structure of the economy. Because what we say that many of these countries also have done certain things right. You talked about Korea here, and many other countries that have focused on human capital, have started sorting out the problems, building as many as possible engineers, and so much and so much in certain areas of peace. And South Africa's low skill base is impactful area of economy. The complex nature of economy is the world, and whether or not this country is positioning ourselves correctly. So, but we know that we are going to have this relationship with the budget office and discuss these issues. And we also want to be better. Reading, and when you go back and read this presentation, you also have to set up interpret the graphs and the other things correctly. So we'll have a working knowledge in this committee. Thanks very much for the presentation. Thanks, members. You can further discuss some issues over here. Then. But the mental health is very important. I remember the previous Minister of Finance, Minister of Finance, challenged very openly the issue of grading system. How also it encourages speculating to investors, direct the investor, and of course you can impact on investor confidence. And the South African economy, the largest investor, is foreign dominated. Investment in South Africa's economy is foreign dominated. So there are some of the issues that were raised. So thanks very much, that's a key. And then chat with these issues, Mr. Issa. Thanks. No, let me close. Yeah. It's a never ending, it's an important debate. Economy, this is a very important topic. So thanks very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Yeah, I even something to my mother that you can say that.